All right, Michael Wan is the commissioner of the LPGA, and earlier this week, they made a major announcement about a brand new event. It is a pleasure to welcome Michael Wan back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, commissioner.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, you've announced a senior LPGA championship going to take place in Indiana at French Lick this July. How did all of this come about, Michael?
Well, like most ideas I get credit for, they were somebody else's idea originally, and this was the case. French Lick and Steve Ferguson called me and said, I'd really like to raise the platform, the stage, if you will, for the senior LPGA members. And the senior LPGA members don't have a lot of events. Let's create a major experience. With the women's senior U.S. Open starting in 18, we thought, let's launch this thing in 17, and there'll at least be two major moments. So it's a combination of bigger purse. They'll play for $600,000. It's televised live on the Golf Channel. It's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday event, which is great because it'll be live golf competing with very little else. They're also having a Symetra Tour event, the LPGA's development tour event, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before this. So really 6 days in a row, if you're anywhere near French Lick, you're going to see the stars that made the LPGA, and you'll see the stars of tomorrow all in one location. We're playing the senior LPGA championship on their Pete Dye course. We're playing the Symetra tournament on their Donald Ross course, and it's going to be an unbelievable week celebrating the people that built the tour and the people that will be the tour in the future.
I forgot what it's like to have you on the show answering all the questions with just one question. Well, you mentioned what the USGA has done, creating in 18 a U.S. Women's Senior Open Championship. Michael, if they had not done that, do you think you'd be doing this?
Well, I have constantly for the last 7 years in the job been trying to find a way to kind of get more involved and help on the senior level. My fear is I didn't want to take something on that I couldn't achieve, and I'd be lying if I said my hands weren't full building the LPGA and the Symetra Tour. But like I said, when Steve from French Lick called and said, I have a vision, but it's going to require both of us, I said, keep talking. And he said, here's what we can host at this location. And French Lick has had a long history in professional and major golf, as well as even with the LPGA. They hosted the LPGA Championship back in, 59 and 60. So they've done big things. It's an incredible resort with casino, two top-notch golf courses. And he said, but what I want is I want the LPGA to run it. I want you to set it up, to figure out the tournament. I want it to be your people from top to bottom putting this together. And it hit me that, hey, I could do one of these really well. I'm not really sure I could do 30 of these, but I think I can do one of these really well. And when he said, how about if we invite the Symetra Tour out as well, it became a natural. So it's a great opportunity, like I said, for not only my younger players to meet the Patty Sheehans and Pat Bradleys and Nancy Lopez's of the world, but it's a great chance for us to showcase to our global fan base the players that they all know and love and help build this brand in the very first place.
Yeah, there you go, answering my next question. You're getting us used to these teenagers. You're getting us used to these young players. But do me a favor, Michael, remind the listener some of those senior players that are out there. You've mentioned a couple of them, Nancy and the such.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about Lopez and Big Mama Joanna Carner, and you're talking Pat Bradley, and it's, the name Patty Sheehan. The names just kind of keep coming. I know Nancy Lopez is, she said, that's a tough course to walk up and down. It's got some dramatic, and she said, I'm going to check my knees on this. But I have a feeling there's more than a few players hitting balls when they heard that announcement, because this is going to provide a couple of really big-time opportunities from a TV money opportunity that, quite frankly, haven't been available for these players. It's going to be for LPGA members who qualify that are over the age of 45, and I think you're going to see a lot of names that you remember from the 70s and 80s and maybe even the 90s that were superstars. You'll also see the Laura Davies of the world, and Lori Kane, and some of the ones that are a little bit more currently contemporary and still competing at the LPGA level.
All right, we're not supposed to tell women's ages, but with the 45 age restriction, so we're not getting Annika back on the range, are we? And Lorraine is a little young, isn't she?
She's a little young, but it's nice to know there's something for her to think about in the future, too. I can't speak for Annika, but I mean, I would say that if you were a player sort of saying, geez, I really don't want to play a tour, I don't want to play 10 times a year, I have a feeling come 17 and 18, when there are these two kind of big pillars between the senior LPGA championship and the U.S. Senior Open, I have a feeling there's more than a few players going, I think I could rally for a couple of weeks and kind of get the competitive juices flowing. I don't know about Annika. I send her stories about Brett Favre all the time saying, athletes in America unretire 5 or 6 times in their career. You're due. She doesn't really, I don't know if she gets the same chuckle out of that I do.
We're talking with the commissioner of the LPGA, Michael Wan, here on the Augusta Golf Show. You mentioned this. I'm projecting a little bit here. So with French Lick's involvement, is this a tournament that will return year after year to French Lick, or is this something that moves around?
No, it's we've done a 5-year deal to start with French Lick, but okay. Both of us sort of have a 20-year vision, and we like it. I mean, it's really it's a good homecoming. Almost all of our players have experienced French Lick at some point, and like I said, it's pretty rare that you get to play, you know, really a classic Donald Ross on one side of the road, and the other side of the road is, you know, one of what I think is one of Pete Dye's best ever, and you get that combination. And for me as commissioner, to know that some of my younger players striving to make the LPGA are going to be having dinner, breakfast, sitting in player dining, and probably just walking and watching some players like, you know, Pat Bradley and Patty Sheehan. Nothing but good comes out of that.
It's a question I ask you every time you're on the program, and I know you had huge vision when you took this role, but has this something that's kind of gone beyond your initial vision? I mean, this, you know, Michael, you mentioned it's not going to turn into a tour, but this is not dissimilar from the path the Champions Tour took.
Yeah, and there is a Legends Tour. It's not something that the LPGA runs today. Jane Blaylock works together with a board from the Legends, and they play a tour season. But we really haven't got involved and run it from an LPGA perspective. And I've talked to him about it. We probably check in once a year, and I've said I'd love for the LPGA at some point to be the person who leads that Legends effort for the players over 45. It's just I just don't want to take on more than we can chew. But yeah, you're exactly right, John. When I walked into the job in 2010, this was not on the to-do list. And that's the beautiful thing about sometimes you just answer your phone and the person on the other end has a better vision than you do. I mean, that's happened to me a lot in my career. I've been lucky enough that people will call and say, what do you think? And as they're talking, I'm realizing, wow, that's they dream bigger than I do, and I'm just smart enough not to get in their way.
And then sometimes you answer the phone and it's just me. I'm curious about something, Michael. All of the noise that happened a couple of weeks ago with Tiger's return and his apparent return to competition next year. Is that the boat? Can that boat raise the tide? I mean, can you feel a little something from something like that happening? Is he able to do that for almost all the tours?
Yeah, there's no doubt. We watched it. You know, we watched it in his last heyday. I mean, you know, Tiger lifts viewership, interest, media support at a level that, you know, kind of pre and post Tiger wasn't previously known. So, yeah, Tiger's return and hopefully Tiger's success is good for golf. It's not just good for the PGA. It's not just good for men's golf. It's good for golf, period. And we'll be honest too. I can promise you, in our player dining, when we have TVs turned on, we'll be watching. You know, we'll be watching Tiger too. Whether you love him, don't like him, don't care. He brings the audience in, and it's good. It's good for the game. I can tell you as a on a personal story, I don't think I've seen a men's tour event in a long time, just because, you know, my time is fairly committed to the other side of the game. But I watched 9 holes in the Bahamas out of curiosity, like probably millions of other fans.
A couple of questions. I'll get you out of here. What 3, 4, 5 months removed from the Olympics? What's the afterglow for your game from that event?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, it was the greatest, you know, it's the greatest spectacle of casual fans that'll ever see the game of golf, both in 2016 and we'll do it again in 2020. There's great ratings for golf tournaments, and then there's the Olympics, and they aren't close. I mean, when NB Park won 3 majors in a row and was going for 4, we were seeing 6 and 7 ratings in Korea. When she won the gold medal, she had a 24.7 rating in Korea. 25% of the TVs were turned on watching her. By the way, not exactly in prime time in Korea when it was happening. And the same thing was true with Henrik Stenson. You know, when in his home country, I think about 150,000 people watched him at the Open Championship, and well over 1.1 million watched him in the Olympics. There's just a fan base that follows the Olympics that's at a whole nother level. Probably the best thing that happened in the Olympics for me is I saw for the first time my athletes, my tour players, like fans and kids. I mean, we were all giddy. We were waking up in the morning and at breakfast, everyone was talking about where they went. I went to handball. She went to ping pong. They went to the track and field, and we were just kids. I mean, it was so cool to see the best athletes in the world from all over the world competing to be the best. And it was really cool to see how much interest they had in us and what we were all about. It was funny to stand on a first tee and a fan came up who clearly had never seen a golf match and was asking me all kinds of basic questions. And then he said, it must be really cool to see all these girls from all these different countries tee it up for the first time, huh? And I said, well, it is pretty cool, but we did it last week and we'll do it again next week. I mean, I think what we realized on the LPGA is we're sort of putting on a small version of the Olympics every week, but there's nothing like the Olympic atmosphere and Rio was over the top good.
He is Michael Wan, the commissioner of the LPGA. What is your Christmas kryptonite, Michael? What do you eat this time of the year that you don't eat any other time?
Oh, Buckeyes. Do you know what Buckeyes are?
Oh, do I?
Peanut butter.
Do I? Yes, sir. I've been to a tailgate or two in Columbus. Yeah, I'm familiar with the Buckeye. He is.
Yeah, that's a waste expansion program for me in the off season is Buckeyes. Unfortunately, my wife's from Columbus, Ohio, so everybody we know mails us Buckeyes, and it's just the treat. I can't seem to walk past, and there's not enough elliptical in the day to work off the number of Buckeyes that I put down.
What I find amazing about that, Michael, is they all think they're the only ones that make them.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, Ohio State is always in the hunt, too. So yeah. If you're watching Ohio State, you got to be eating Buckeyes, so the combination is deadly.
Michael Wan, the commissioner. Michael, thank you for taking the time to do this. Congratulations on this and everything. Have a great holiday season. We'll talk after the first of the year.
Thanks for covering us, John. We appreciate it.